Welcome to this week's Take 15 with the Rabbi. Last week we began our discussion of the Mourner's Kaddish, and we read this very interesting story from Maseches Kala Rabasi, which was one of the minor tractates that's included in our printed Gemaras, but which is not actually part of the Gemara, which explains the idea behind the Mourner's Kaddish. And the story was of how Rabbi Akiva once had an encounter with a soul that was being tormented in Gehenna, in the afterlife. And he asked that particular soul how to free him from these trials and tribulations and difficulties that he was experiencing in Gehenna. And the soul said that he needed his son, who is still alive, to say Baruch Hu and Kaddish and inspire the congregations in which they prayed to respond to those prayers. And in that way, he could be released from further punishment in the afterlife. Rabbi Akiva finds his son, he trains him in Torah and mitzvot and how to lead the davening, and he succeeds. And the end of the story is that the soul works and the soul is indeed released from the difficulties of Gehenna. And it was a fascinating story, which essentially teaches us that the idea of people saying Kaddish after a loved one who dies is to help elevate their soul and release them from any punishment or any difficulty that they might be encountering in the afterlife. It's because of this story, in which Chazal were really teaching us about the ability of Kaddish to affect the souls of the deceased, that the idea of mourners saying Kaddish becomes so entrenched in the Jewish tradition. However, what's very interesting is that the whole idea of mourners in general, or of children saying Kaddish after their deceased parents, is missing from a very large chunk of Jewish literature over the course of our history. The Gemara, the Talmud, the essence of our Jewish tradition and of our halacha, does not speak at all about the concept of a child saying Kaddish for a parent. But this is not totally surprising, since as we mentioned much earlier in this series, the Kaddish itself, whether mourner's Kaddish or otherwise, is not even mentioned in the Gemara. In fact, the text of the Kaddish didn't even exist in the time of the Gemara. The only thing that existed was the one line of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Leolam Omeh Maya, may God's great name be blessed forever and ever, and potentially a couple of other lines of the Kaddish. But the Kaddish, as we know, was not formed at that time, so it's not completely surprising that this isn't mentioned. But what is more surprising is that it almost doesn't appear at all in the writings of the Rishonim, the writings of the rabbis from the 9th to the 16th century, including the Rambam, Maimonides, who also doesn't mention this concept. The Rambam was the major codifier of Jewish law and Jewish practice. He was the person who created essentially the first code of Jewish law. And he doesn't mention it either in theory or in practice. So this is a little bit surprising. However, there is one exception to this rule, and that is that the idea of a mourner or of a child saying Kaddish for a deceased parent is mentioned in a book called the Or Zarua, which was written by Yitzchak ben Moshe of Vienna in the 13th century. The Or Zarua, or of Yitzchak ben Moshe of Vienna, was really one of the greatest Ashkenazic rabbis of the Middle Ages. He was born somewhere in what we would call the lands of Ashkenaz, in Germany, France, Bohemia, in that particular area. And he attained his fame, really, in Vienna with his major work, which is a halachic guide known as the Or Zarua. It became a very essential, very important work of Ashkenazic tradition, of Ashkenazic halacha over the course of the centuries, a work in which we still study today. And he studied under a lot of very major, important Ashkenazic Jewish scholars of the time, so his writings really incorporates the majority and the major ideas of the Ashkenazic tradition up to that time. In addition to just having great teachers, he was also the teacher of Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg, the Maharam Mirutenberg, as he's known, and he was really one of the major Ashkenazic rabbis that set the halachic trend for for all time was the teacher of the major commentators of Ashkenaz on the Gemara, was a really important figure in Jewish history. So the Or HaZeruah takes a very prominent place. What was also interesting about the Or HaZeruah is that he lived in many different places in Ashkenaz, in Bohemia and Germany, and actually also went to live in Paris for a little while, where he learned from other rabbis who were less of the German tradition and more of the French tradition. And because of his vast travels, he was exposed to a lot of different customs from various different places, and this is particularly pertinent in the couple of lines of the Or HaZeruah that I'm about to read for you right now. So in Chelek Bet, in the second section of the Or HaZeruah, his halachic work, Rav Yitzchak ben Moshe of Vienna mentions this idea of a mourner saying Kaddish for a deceased parent, and this again was written in the 13th century. He says, Minhagenu v'chein minhag b'nei Rhinus, our minhag here, he says, as well as in the Rhinelands of Germany, La'achar sheyomru hatzibur ein kelokenu, after the shul says ein kelokenu, which by the way might not just have been on Shabbat as we say it, but perhaps every day, Omed hayasom the Omer Kaddish. He says, a mourner stands up and says the Kaddish prayer at the end of davening. And this, by the way, is our tradition up until today. Aval b'tzarfat, ra'iti she'eno makpidim al kach, mishi Omer Kaddish. He says, but when I was in France, and this is where his travels become pertinent, he says, when I was in France, I noticed that this wasn't the tradition over there. By us in Germany, this is the tradition, as specifically a mourner should say the Kaddish at the end of davening after Ein Kelokeinu. However, in France, that wasn't the case. Im na'ar yasom, o na'ar sheyesh lo av. He says, they weren't so careful in France whether it was a mourner who said it or a non-mourner who said it. The kimin hagenu mistabra mishumasa shahaya demasa b'Rebbe Akiva. Here's the important line for us. He says, if you follow our tradition, meaning the tradition of Germany, in which it's specifically a mourner who says this Kaddish after Ein Kelokeinu at the end of davening, he says the reason behind it, the reason why we would be so careful to have a mourner say it, is because of the story of Rabbi Akiva. Now, the story of Rabbi Akiva, which he's referring to, is the story which we told last time, which we summarized just a minute ago. The story found in various Midrashim, as well as minor tractates, in which he tells us that it's a great merit for a son or for a child of a deceased parent to say the Kaddish on their behalf. So you see that this Medrash, this story of Rabbi Akiva, really does become the basis of this tradition of mourners saying the Kaddish. Now, you'll notice that the Or HaZeruah, he doesn't say that a person is chayav, a person is obligated to say the Kaddish. He says, minhagenu, uminhag b'nei Rhinus. He says, our custom and the custom of the people of the Rhinelands is to do X, Y, and Z. So, this is not such uncommon language for the Or HaZeruah, because he does record a lot of minhagim, a lot of traditions as well as halachot, but what maybe we could learn from this statement of the Or HaZeruah, which is probably one of the earliest statements which records the practice of mourners saying Kaddish for a deceased parent as either a halacha or a minhag, we could perhaps deduce that this became common practice in many different communities, and it became the minhag in many communities, but because it wasn't a strict halacha, because it wasn't a strict requirement, it was just something nice that a child could do for a parent, or on behalf of a parent, or for the merit of a parent, so it wasn't discussed by the major Rishonim, by the major early rabbis, because they were discussing essentially halachic topics and halachic works, or commentary on the Gemara, which also doesn't talk about this. So it's not completely surprising that it's never really spoken about until the time of the Or HaZeruah. However, the minhag that the Or HaZeruah does talk about, of saying it, seems to have been very well entrenched in many communities. Because you see that by the time you get to the time period of the Rama, of Rabbi Moshe Isserles in the mid-1500s in Krakow, you see that the Rama does record this as a halachic requirement, or at least as a minhag, in his Ashkenazic glosses to the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law. He says in Yoredeus Simon Shin Ayin Vav, he says, V'nimtza b'midrashos lomar kaddish al av. He says, you find in the different stories of the Medrash, like we saw the story of Rabbi Akiva, that a child should say a kaddish for a parent. Imken nagu Lomar al Aveim Kaddish Basra Yud Beis Chodesh. He says, because of this idea, it became the minhag to say Kaddish for a parent for 12 months, or actually, more accurately, would be 11 months, as well as to do other various practices. So you see, by the time of the Ramah, it becomes entrenched in Jewish tradition, in Ashkenazic tradition, and becomes codified in the Code of Jewish Law. What we need to continue to discuss a little bit tonight, and we'll continue in our next sessions, is what is this idea of a child or a person who's still living being able to affect the soul of those who are already deceased. So perhaps we should start with a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, a pasuk which perhaps is the main source of this idea of someone who's still alive affecting those who have already passed away. So the pasuk appears in Sefer Devarim at the end of Parshat Shoftim, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Chet, in this section of the Torah which speaks about the idea of the Egla Arufa. If people find a dead body between two towns, and they don't know how the body was killed, person was killed, and where the body came from, so the elders and the judges of each city, they have to go out and walk to that spot where they found the particular corpse, and they have to decide, whatever city was closer to that corpse, the elders of the city have to perform this whole elaborate ceremony and ritual in which essentially they take responsibility for the dead body, the dead corpse, and they try to atone for whoever committed this particular sin. So after they finish the ceremony, they have to make a declaration, the Torah says. They have to declare, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. We did not kill this person. We don't know who killed him. We haven't seen anything about this. And then they say the following line. Kaper le'amcha Yisrael asher padita Hashem. Atone for your people Israel that you have redeemed, O Hashem. Ve'al titen dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael. Do not place innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel. V'nikaper lahem hadam. Then the blood shall be atoned for them. So once they make this declaration, there's an atonement for the people of Israel, the people specifically of that city. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaye, who was one of the commentators on the Chumash, quotes a very interesting interpretation of the Medrash of this particular pasuk. He says, Darshu b'psikta, that the psikta... The Psikta is a collection of Midrashim. So Rabbeinu Bechaye is now quoting an idea from the Psikta, which is really taking us away from the simple meaning of this pasuk, which is really speaking about the ceremony of Egla Arufa and teaching us a broader idea. He says, the Psikta says that when the pasuk tells us, Kaper le'amcha Yisrael, atone for the people of Israel, Elu ha'chaim shemiskaprim b'mamona. This is talking about the people who are alive, who are able to atone from themselves by giving money, by giving tzedakah. The rest of the next part of the pasuk, which says, Asher padita Hashem, the psikta says, Asher padita elu hameitim shemiskaprim b'mamon hachayim. It says, this refers to the dead people who are able to be atoned for through the money of those who are still alive. Rabbeinu Bechaye concludes from this. He says, "Lamadnu mizeh." We learn from this. Shehahekdesho shenogim hachaim lahakdisham ba'ad hamesim. That the donations that the people who are alive make on behalf of the people who are deceased, sheyesh lahem toelis lamesim. We learn that they really do have an effect upon those who've deceased. V'hu adin laomer bishvilo kadosh. So too for the person who says Kaddish for someone who's deceased. O shum bracha beis haknesses b'tzibur, or any blessing or any prayer in a public setting. Kumo she'amru ba'agad le'ba'osa ma'isa shel Rabbi Akiva. Again, referring back to the source of the story of Rabbi Akiva, in which you see that the effects of the effects that a son can possibly have or a child can possibly have for the soul of a deceased parent. So, right away, you see that the original intent of this story was not just one isolated medrash, but seems to be a more pervasive view of Chazal. A pervasive view of Chazal that becomes entrenched in this pasuk in Sefer Devarim. So from this pasuk and its various comments of Chazal brought to us by Rabbeinu Bechaye, we learn that there is such an idea in the Jewish tradition of those who are alive somehow, through their deeds in this world, affecting the fate of those who are deceased, affecting the fate of the souls in the afterlife. What we need to go into next time, in the next Take 15, is exactly how that works, exactly why that's the case, and the ideas that are behind it. Have a wonderful week.